Hey, this is Corey.
And this is Ilea.
And today's episode of Jump Rope Jam, we're going to talk to Caitlin about her win in Worlds, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, in Worlds. And Ilea is going to dissect and critique my jumping. So, Caitlin, why don't you tell the listeners what event you participated in and what you won and everything else?
Well, when I was at World Jump Rope, I participated in single rope freestyle, single rope pairs freestyle, wheel freestyle, and that was the main ones that I was working towards.
Was this in Braga, Portugal?
Yeah, so it was good. I'm trying to think, sorry.
I was in my honeymoon when you guys were doing the event. We were down south, mm-hmm. like 4 hours away in Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
Did you manage to go out in Braga and, you know, go out to eat and...
Yeah, well, what had happened was Robbie and I had went a few days early mm-hmm. because I had to get right back, like right after the competition, I had to come right back for work. So we went a few days earlier instead.
Nice.
And we got to see Porto for a bit and we did a bunch of sightseeing around Braga. And then I didn't stay with the World Jump Rope accommodations or any of that. I found like a hostel to stay in and I stayed more in the city center. And then I just had about a half an hour commute to the venue each day.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to kind of experience Braga a lot more, which I'm glad I did it like that. I mean, the walk back at night, I wasn't always the nicest and half the time I ended up cabbing back. But being able to kind of have a more authentic experience, I'm really glad I did that.
Did you have a lot of cod?
Not a lot, but more than usual. If there was any fish option, it was either cod or haddock, and that was about it. But it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was very good. We lucked out one night. We were able to get swordfish, mm-hmm. and that was amazing. Have you had swordfish
That's awesome.
Before?
I have not.
Oh, it's really, really good. Did you have their pastry that they're famous for?
No, I didn't. I don't even know what it's called.
It was... I am blanking on what it was called, too.
How was your honeymoon?
That was great, actually. We had a lot of fun. There wasn't a cloud in the sky the whole time we were there, and the only time it got really hot was the last day.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Then, well, I'm glad it worked out for you.
Thanks. So, getting back to the event.
mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm the one who got us off track. So, what about you? What about Robbie? What did you guys win?
I won a single rope freestyle in my age category mm-hmm. and then qualified for grands. And then Robbie and I won the mixed or the open division, single rope pairs freestyle in our age category again, and then also qualified for grands.
Nice. Did you, get to watch any of the videos that were shown after the fact? Because I know World streamed it.
Yes. I found them on YouTube. They haven't posted the grand stuff day yet, so I haven't seen any of that.
Oh, okay.
But I've seen all the other videos, and I kind of like how they have that replay option now. I think it's nice.
Yeah, I think that's where it needs to go. It's nice to be able to see everything after the fact.
Yes, for sure. Yes, definitely. And also, like, for the time difference, because no matter where it is in the world, there's going to be somebody who's negatively affected by the time difference.
How was your jet lag when you got back?
Very busy when I got back.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really have time to realize I was tired or jet lagged. I just kind of got back into doing things immediately and was good to go.
Talked with Ilea about giving me some pointers to get started. And I shot a video. It's only a little bit less than a minute. But I figured that this would be a good way to have you guys see my form, and I thought it'd be fun and funny to have the viewers and I guess right now just Ilea just critique me. So be brutally honest, Ilea, when you see this. And Caitlin, if you hear anything from what Ilea is saying that you want to comment on or give me pointers to, that'd be great because I'm planning on...
Okay.
Yeah, after this, I'm planning on doing like a up to 5 to 7 minute YouTube video of me doing this and then having you guys and when Brandon can comment on them, you know, just comment on what I'm doing and like beginner's jump rope. So
yeah, for sure.
Ilya, are you at the computer to watch?
Yeah, I'm watching.
Okay, I'm going to do full screen now. And I'm going to play it, okay?
Okay.
So for those who are listening and not viewing, I set up a camera at the gym and I'm jumping
right now. I see blocks in there, so you've sized your rope.
Yep, I sized my rope.
The jump looks good. I think your rope is actually a little bit big for you.
Okay, so I've got to tie it off.
If you're looking between your head and the arc of the rope, you have about 2.5 feet of clearance. Probably the most that you would need is 1 foot. But part of the reason why you are getting so much clearance is because your elbows are bent.
Mm.
So as you can see, when the rope goes up, you bend your arms at your elbows. And they become an extension of the rope, which kind of makes it longer when you bend your elbows up like that.
Should I not be bending my elbows?
Yeah. You want your arms to drop into a nearly straight formation if you can, because you want the turning to be in your wrists and forearms more so than your elbows and shoulders. And you'll see that as jumpers become more elite, you notice that. I notice it especially in young kids. After about their first year, if you get them really young, their arms drop. But it usually takes them about a year. Mm. It doesn't typically take an adult unless they've been trained one way or another to take on the sport you have. So standing up like that and having your elbows bent like that, it's actually better posture. It's better for your back, but it's not really an efficient form. Especially if you're doing speed, because you want the shortest rope possible. You don't want to have to turn as much, right? Right, so anyways, like that video of Worlds that we were looking at, the young man who broke the 3-minute speed record.
Mm-hmm.
At the FISAC Championships. So you see, he's got terrible, terrible posture, but that is the posture that allows him to skip so quickly. So with the hunched shoulders and bent at the waist and the arms straight down and out, when you're just doing a free jump or you're doing like freestyle, not necessarily speed, for a beginner, I would suggest with your eyes looking forward about a foot in front of your toes, and your arms like not perfectly straight, not pin straight, but you don't want to be bending your elbows with every jump because it's less exact.
Okay, and I've been jumping with both feet together, as you can see. Is that something that I shouldn't be doing?
Well, it is proper form, and it does look better, but you'll see skippers often do a split foot jump to share the weight between their knees, which again is something your body automatically assumes as its posture, just from the repetition of jumping all the time.
Caitlin, do you have any advice for me to help not keep my feet together?
You do or do not want to keep your feet together?
Well, Ilya was saying that while it's good posture, a lot of jumpers tend to, what you said, split foot? Is that what you called it?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's between a speed jump and a two-footed jump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sharing the weight of your knees. So it's kind of like a syncopated rhythm between your feet. So both feet hit the floor within the same rotation, but not at the same time. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying from watching it.
Yeah.
But doing it, I guess because I'm not obviously used to it. Because like you said, like I'm... You can compare me to a child just learning the first time. So,
It naturally occurs over time as the body and your knees experience fatigue. So if you did like 500 jumps every day, by the end of the week, you may see it starting.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you spend a lot of time skipping with other skippers, you might pick it up just by habit because you're seeing it so often.
Right.
Sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes it's just a naturally occurring result of fatigue, but I wouldn't say that you need to necessarily try and jump that way. There's nothing wrong with jumping on 2 feet. In fact, there's a lot of times I wish that jumpers would, because it is better form. It is better posture, and it's better lines, especially in freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It's you wouldn't want to do a split foot jump in freestyle. So it's just if you're warming up or something, we tend to do the other jump to keep the weight off of our knees.
Well, I'm going to keep up on this. And is there anything that I should do this week? Any goals that I should try to reach?
My parents are here.
Oh, okay. So you got to go.
Hello, Georgie. I'm sure that they do.
So we'll talk later then, Eileen. You got to go with your parents.
No, I don't have to, but I...
No, you should. You should.
They're just coming to use the pool. Goals for this week, I really want to see you try 30-second speed.
30-second speed?
You try and get the speed jump. So basically, I mean, you know that every time the rope makes a complete rotation, mm-hmm. you need to switch the foot that you're jumping on. So if you do it so slowly that you only get 15 jumps in 30 seconds, that's fine. It's the form that you're looking for to start.
Okay.
It's making sure you get each foot switched per rotation.
Good. And is there a stretch goal that I should reach as well?
A stretch goal?
Yeah. Other than that, like, is there anything else that I should try to do?
I think you might find it's a pretty busy week to learn to do 30-second speed. If you did it 3 times this week, warm up, stretch, and then try the 30-minute speed, right? Or 30 seconds, sorry, not 30 minutes.
30-minute, oh, geez. That would be a great way to begin.
But if you're able to time yourself and count, you count only your right foot and mm-hmm. then time the score by 2 for the number of rotations, then maybe you'll be able to see if you actually get faster by the end of the week.
Okay, that sounds good.
I think it would be really great for some listeners to send in video challenges for you, like beginner skills and stuff that we can try. And
yes,
we can,
because if it's anything above that, you definitely will win. if I attempt to do it, I will not be able to. But with that in mind, before you go, I am planning on making Jump Rope Jam t-shirts. And what we'll do is, if you send in a challenge for me, a beginner challenge, please, and I'm unable to do it properly or reach it successfully, I will send you one of those t-shirts of the size that you want.
Oh, that's so great. I'm submitting because I want a t-shirt. Can
I have a t-shirt? All right. So, Eileen, we'll talk to you later. Go enjoy the time with your parents.
Oh, I should get a shirt just for that.
No, you guys will all get shirts. Don't worry.
But also, I just want to comment where the video is paused right now on your intense facial. Like, that is focused. Right there, you can zoom in on that. Like, look at the neck muscles. All the veins in your neck are like,
Eileen, go enjoy the pool with your folks. We'll have to next time we get together. We're definitely with or without Brandon. We're going to watch some clips from Jump In, and we're going to post that on YouTube. And so send in your goals for me to do. Please.
I'm excited for all of the things that are upcoming. I'm sorry I have to leave so quickly. Sorry, Kate, but I will listen to the episode when it drops and make sure that I'm up to speed on everything that's going on. What's my tag again? Oh, yeah. Keep your head up and jump high. I'm out.
Bye.
Bye.
So it's just me and you, Caitlin. So do you have any things that you want me to try to do as well with the 30-second speed?
See, when I started later, so I can kind of understand when you, like, what you're going through, because most jumpers start when they're 7 or under, but I started when I was 13, so I was a lot older, so I had definitely that awkward stage for quite some time.
But I'm 32 so going on to 33, so that awkward stage is going to be there for a long time.
No, it just means that you'll be okay. So my suggestion or anything like that, or my goal for you, I suppose, would be to try like basic tricks, but make sure you have proper technique the entire time. Mm-hmm. Because I found, like for myself, I could do the tricks and I got them very, very quickly, but they were really ugly. So every time I would do like a donkey kick or a handstand, I technically could do it and I could get the rope under me, but it did not look good at all. So start focusing on technique, not just in your normal jumps, but as you're learning new tricks, keep that in mind and you'll be good to go.
Well, so should I do the donkey kick as my first trick, or is there something that's a little bit easier?
I'd start with a push-up.
But okay, that's what I thought.
If you want to do like a power trick or a strength trick like that, I would start with a push-up.
And I've been doing push-ups to get back into going back to the gym, so why not combine the two?
Exactly, there you go.
Okay. So are there any events that are coming up after the main two ones that just occurred?
In regards to jump rope?
Yeah.
Well, August is normally kind of like the off season. I'm currently out right now doing a circus show for, I think I've scheduled for 38 shows or something like that. So,
nice.
So I'm still doing skipping, but it's not competition based. And, yeah, and come September, teams will start back up. And then October is kind of like workshop season, you like to call it. So a lot of the weekends, different teams will host different workshops, and October, November is the time where a lot of jumpers don't necessarily have routines, but they're just kind of working on new skills. So then come December, January, they can build their routines, but with new stuff, and then that's how they kind of grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us take August off because we're training to some extent for like 11 months out of the year. So this is normally quiet time, but it's also... like behind the scenes, things are still going crazy. Like World Jump Rope and PTAC are still figuring out like details for the upcoming competition that they'll be doing. And like RSC is doing quite a bit. And like, I'm still on the athlete committee and I still run that. So it's like, we're still doing a bunch of stuff. Teams, I'm sure, are figuring out finances and what kind of competitions they're planning on doing and when they can get practice space and all that kind of stuff. So although the skippers get a break, nobody else really gets a break.
And where are you right now? Are you home?
No, I'm in Quebec City.
Oh, that's where the circus is?
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's a stationary show, and it's on 6 nights a week, and I'm here for 6 weeks.
Well, do you want to plug it?
Pardon me?
Do you want to plug it?
What do you mean?
Just tell the audience what the show is actually called and where they can go to see it if they wanted to and that kind of thing.
Oh, sure. So the show is called Crepuscule. It's obviously French, and it just kind of has the... It doesn't necessarily have a story to it like some circus shows. It's just kind of like a scenario, mm-hmm. which I think is really interesting. Most or any show that I've done has had a very distinct story, and this one is very scenario-based. So that one is interesting. So when you're on stage, instead of being like, okay, this is your character and this is what's happening, it's just more of a mentality of this is your emotion, now portray it. And obviously through the axi, emotions will change, but it's a lot of fun. It's, yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. It's a lot of skipping and a lot of training and rehearsals and run-throughs. But I'm still really enjoying it. And,
good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And that was kind of the part where I didn't really have an opportunity to settle because I got back from Portugal and I was successful at Portugal, in my opinion. And then I had a 16-hour turnaround time between getting, unpacking, repacking, sleeping, and getting to the airport to then come here.
I know.
And then when I got here, I landed that night around 6 o'clock in Quebec City, and at 6:30 I had a 4-hour rehearsal.
Jeez,
so,
I don't know how you did that.
No time for jet lag.
when we got back, we were both dead. I mean, we didn't go to sleep right away, but
mm-hmm.
the next 2 days, we felt like we were just walking underwater.
Yep.
And you hit all the marks with your tricks?
Yeah, well, the 4 hours I was here that first night was just kind of learning it because I didn't know the routine and I had to do it 4 days later or 2 days later. So it was just kind of more of like walking through and more mentally exhausting because I was trying to figure out what my cues were and all that. But I got in on the Tuesday, and by the Thursday night, which was my first show, it was all figured out and I was good to go.
Nice. Eileen and I were talking the last episode when we recorded about sports psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a question about that. Like,
sure.
What do you,
I don't know much about it.
well, they normally deal with the whole mentality side of, you know, the mental energy side of the sport or sports. So in this case, you know, my question is more along the side of, you know, you get in, you're jet lagged, so you're mentally just not there, but mm-hmm. you still need to hit your marks and do the tricks properly and you know, do what you need to do. So are you that well trained that it just you're able to know physically what you need to do, and you just, it kind of like if you're driving and you're a little bit tired, but you've driven
before. I wouldn't say well trained, but for me, it's just kind of black and white. Like, it's one of those situations where there's no what ifs, you know, like I get here, this has to be done. There's no second option. There's no putting 50% in, like there's no questions asked. It has to be done. And that's just, when I get here, I know that's what I'm going into, and I just make it happen essentially.
So,
if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. And that's how you approach the sport though, right? Like if, for instance, you know, you were having trouble with, I don't know, like if the jump rope for some reason, oh no, actually there was a couple of months ago, didn't yours or Ilya's jump rope snap or break?
Yeah, Ilya and I were doing a circus show, and in the middle of it, my handle went flying off.
Okay, so can you tell the audience and me what was going, if you remember, what was going through your mind at that time?
Well, it was just kind of like, I was thankful that it was just the handle coming off, because if the rope had cut or split in half, there's physically no way I could have done, and then it's just awkward. Because how do you end the act but still stay professional, because your rope literally is cut in half? So thankfully that didn't happen. It was just the handle that came off. So my first mentality, or my first thought, was to get the handle off the floor and out of the way, because Eileen and I still had 2 minutes of a routine left.
Jeez.
And I didn't want her stepping on it, or like somebody slipping, or it being kicked and hitting somebody in the audience. So my first thing was to pick that up and get it out. And then after that, it was just kind of like, well, I now have 4 less inches of a rope. What tricks do I need to emphasize my arms on to make up for that? So I just grabbed the end of my rope and just did what had to be done. I didn't really like panic or anything, but you can definitely see, like, when I look back at that show, that my mentality, like, I'm not staring at the audience and smiling. You can tell it's a forced smile, because I'm focusing on how can I keep this clean but finish the routine with this huge mishap. So I'm not too good at that yet, but I'm still happy I was able to like finish the routine, and I think we did it clean after that, which is good. I think I was late for one cue by maybe 2 beats or something. At the same time, like having Ilya out there and having somebody that I've skipped with for quite some time, and like I'm like somebody I'm comfortable around, it made it less stressful. If I was by myself, I probably would have freaked out a lot more. But because the audience could watch her, I could follow her for the next trick if I had to, it was stressful.
Yeah, well, I think that you probably would, if you were to ask anybody in the audience if you could, or anybody who would watch the video, that they probably wouldn't notice any of the quote-unquote mistakes that you felt that you might have made, or marks that you might have missed. And
yeah,
it was probably, you know, because you know what you're supposed to do, you were being critical of yourself. I mean, the closest thing that has happened to me in a non-sporting event that, but like being in the classroom, that's kind of similar, was my first year of teaching. I had a student who wasn't paying attention at all, and they were using safety scissors, I promise you. But, so one of the kids was cutting and just not paying attention, and he cut his finger enough that he was bleeding all over the place, even with safety scissors. And the first thought that entered my mind was, there goes my teaching job. Like, you know, like this kid is going to either lose his finger because of how bad the blood was, like the much blood. And, but I went into like, I'm the teacher, you know, like I'm the adult mode of, okay, let me calm down this kid. Let me figure out how bad the cut is, and let me clean up the blood so that none of the kids touch it or slip in it. And sure enough, it turned out that he just had cut just a small piece of his finger, that nothing needed to be done. And the parents didn't say anything. They're just like, oh, he's like this. And later on, I was told that you never forget the first kid who has their first like accident in your room. and all the all my co-teachers, like all the teachers in the co-workers, teachers in my school told me their stories. Their stories were worse.
And at least it proves that you can work under pressure. That's
yes, exactly. And I think that's the strength that you guys have. That's like part of, that's like one of the skills that you guys develop over time that a lot of people don't realize, you know, is really important. And I think that's in every sport. That's why there are sports psychologists. You described it perfectly. You're in a situation where you, if you just start to doubt or think about something else or think of your quote unquote options, you know, you're not going to be able to compete properly.
Oh, absolutely. And like for me, in a perfect example of having two different perspectives, for my age category, I was really stressed out about my individual freestyle. Like I just wanted to not embarrass myself and I wanted to have a good routine, but I didn't feel like I trained the routine properly. So I was stressed out about that. And, like Ravi was helping me before the event, and my good friend Katie Eisenhart was also helping me. And like, they were like, I was having not, I don't know, like I was just very focused, but also very stressed. Like I couldn't stop moving. And like, I was like shaking my legs and I like couldn't watch the other people skip because I was so nervous and stuff like that. And they were helping like calm me down and stuff like that. And then luckily it all went well and I was able to focus when it mattered. And I ended up winning, but then at Grand Worlds, I qualified for Grand Worlds and I was like, you know what, like I've already proven myself in a sense, like let's just have fun. Let's just go out there and do the routine once more because I can, right? So I had a different mentality for Grand Worlds and I still ended up on the podium, which was nice at Grand Worlds, but I was less stressed. Like I was able just to stand there and make sure I was warm and ready. And then like the smile on the floor was, I think, more genuine because I had my music and like I was having fun while doing routine and I wasn't thinking essentially about, oh, well, I have to do this trick to get this amount of points and I have to go to this position to get this quadrant and stuff like that. It was just more fun and it was more enjoyable as an athlete and like I was still successful in on both days, but one was a lot less stressful than the other.
Well, I think that it shows what caliber, you know, athlete you are and what kind of caliber athlete you need to be to participate in the sport properly.
Yes, I agree. It takes it's a very mental sport, but also very physically demanding. It will pull at you in both directions in that sense.
Yeah. So with Brandon and Ilya not here, I could use somebody to lead us out since I think it's that time.
Sure. What do you want me to say?
Well, you decide whatever you're comfortable with.
I have no idea. You can lead us out. I'll take your word for it.
Okay. All right. So next time, start our video cast, and we'll have a lot of fun videos, but we're going to continue with the podcast. We'll take the audio from the video cast and post those live, starting not this coming week, but the week after. And, you know, remember what Ilya said. We want you guys to send me some of your challenges. Remember, beginners only. I am like extremely a beginner. And with that said, don't forget, jumping is a sport. See you later.